Right, we are going to dismiss our children at this time as well. Thank you, Dwayne, Shannon, everybody. Yeah. I'm going to ask you to find with me Ephesians, the fifth chapter, as the kids are leaving. They will return. And go ahead and find verse 20. We're going to be considering verses 15 through 21 today, but find that 20th verse because we'll start there as well. And wow. Lot of kids. Lot of youngins. I guess they don't want to hear the message today. No, they're going to have a good time back in children's church. All right. You know, last week, Dwayne shared some things openly here as the worship leader. And one of the things that he was expressing was, not really sure if I'm as thankful as I should be. Am I as grateful to God as I ought to be? And I think he was being very open and honest. And Dwayne, that stuck a chord with me. As I begin to think on some things and as the Lord begin to allow me to ruminate on those statements, I begin to realize that I probably am not as grateful and as thankful as I ought to be. So let me ask you all something. Do you know what the hardest commandment in the Bible is to obey? Well, it's the commandment that we are given to be thankful. Look with me at Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 20. And let's take a few minutes to consider just this text this morning. The Apostle Paul writes these words. Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Holman Christian Bible translates those five words this way. Giving thanks always for everything. The Message translates those words this way, singing praises over everything. And as I looked at the Greek there, I realized that the literal could be stated, expressing thanks constantly for all things. Now, it's not hard to get the picture here. We are to be thankful for all things at all times. Now, let's be honest. Are we? Are we really thankful for all things at all times? I am transparent when it comes to my leadership style and my Christianity. I have to be transparent here. There's a lot of times in my life that being thankful is a weak point. I'm grateful for many things. I'm grateful that I have a nice car to drive. I'm grateful for the house that I live in. I'm grateful for the oatmeal that I have about every other morning. I'm grateful for those kind of things. But I don't think there's many of us here that can truly say that we're grateful for all things at all times. Now today I want to break this down, this whole idea of thankfulness. This is very important to all of us, especially since we're coming into the season where we are supposed to be reflectively thankful for the things around us. But I want to point out to us we're to be thankful for all things. There's really four levels of life that come into play here when we consider thankfulness. And so I want to talk about those four levels this morning. Now I want you to listen carefully. I want you to listen to these levels very carefully and see where you fit in. And if you are not sure where you fit in, then you need to find somebody that's going to give you an honest assessment of where you fit in. Because sometimes when we look at ourselves, we're not as honest as we could be and should be. Amen? Now, the first one is this, and you'll see this in your bulletin. It's going to be up on your screen, so there's some things to fill in here today. Four levels when it comes to thankfulness. First one is constant complainers. First of all, there are people that are just constantly complaining. And I want to ask you, have you ever been around that type of person? Maybe you have been that type of person. See, the fact of the matter is, they're just always complaining. They can't find any good in anything. I read a story about a woman who had a husband like that. She was married to a man that was a constant complainer. He could never be pleased. So one morning, she got up and she said, I am going to please him. She got out of bed and she determined that she was going to spend that morning trying to please him. And she said, "Sweetheart," and she said it in a very nice, sweet voice, "what would you like for breakfast?" She said, "I'll fix anything that you want, any way that you want it, anything you like. Just let me know what it is." He said, "All right. I want 2 pieces of toast. One white, one wheat. The one that's wheat, I want buttered lightly on one side. And then I don't want nothing on the white bread. And I want 2 eggs. I want one over easy, and I want the other one scrambled. Do you got it?" She said, "Yes, dear, I understand what you want. I got it, sweetheart." So she fixed him breakfast just the way that he wanted it. And after he was done, he still had the sour look on his face. And she said to him in a very nice and sweet voice, "Darling, what's the matter?" And he said, "You scrambled the wrong egg." Have you ever been around somebody like that, huh? And maybe if we're honest, sometimes we're guilty of being that person. That's really the lowest level that we can be at. Constantly complaining. We don't want to be there. And then there's a little higher level, but it's really not much better. It's what I want to call blank expressions. Or blank expression. What do I mean by blank expression? Well, they don't complain, but they never express any kind of gratitude or thankfulness for anything. They never show emotion for anything that goes on in their life, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. They're like a Vulcan on Star Trek. You know, they're not up, they're not down, they're neither one way or the other way. The way my grandmother used to say it, they're like a blind hog underneath an acorn tree, never looking up and seeing where it has come from. Many of us, though we don't complain, we're not bitterly complaining against things. We never express anything at all about anything. I think I see that evidence sometimes when we're involved in the worship service. I can't see you all, but sometimes we can sense that we're really not happy about what we're singing about. We're not really charged up about being here. And there's another level of life. Third level, and that's probably where most of us fall in at. It's being thankful for the obvious. There are men and women, boys and girls, who are grateful for the obvious. I touched on it just briefly this morning, but let me go into a little bit better. If you have health, you'll thank God. Thank you, God, I have health. If you have food, you will thank God for your food. Whatever the obvious blessing is in your life, you're going to thank God for it. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with thanking God for the obvious. I believe that we are called to do that. But I want to talk to us today about the highest level that is in the Bible, and it's the level that this verse really fleshes out for us here today. And it's the level that so many of us want to stay clear of, and that's this level: grateful for all things. That's biblically where we need to be at. Look back at the verse, giving thanks for all things. Now, friend, that is the highest level of life. That is the highest place that we can get to in our Christianity. You see God in all situations. You can recognize him in the good, the bad, and the indifferent. You realize that whatever the circumstance is, God is setting it up to bring a greater glory of himself through that situation. You have this wonderful peace that comes about you because you realize that everything, and I mean everything, has been filtered through his divine will and his divine wisdom. That's where I believe that we need to be. Am I there? At times, when I'm ultra spiritual, which is very few times, I can sort of be there. But I think what I want to show you today from the Word of God, from verse 15 to verse 21 here in this fifth chapter, how we can find some nuts and bolts from this passage of Scripture and really get there. In our full text this morning, I believe it gives us a clear picture of what real thankfulness is. The verse gives us what a thankful person looks like from the light of God's Word. So find verse 15 through verse 18, and this is our first point today. I want you to listen very carefully. We can buy back time. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, most of us are familiar. Let's just use a normal thing that probably most of us are familiar with. We're familiar with credit cards that have reward programs. Now, we have them here at this church, and we've used them to help accommodate some things as we go through the process of day-to-day things here at this church. I have a few in my pocket. And you realize what they're about. You realize that you earn points based on a percentage on what you have spent. And what they have done is they have refined it to an art. There are certain cards that give certain points, more points, because of certain behavior. Now, if you want to understand about this point system and you want a guide, I would suggest you find Jim Martinson, because he counseled me on this. He does a lot of traveling, and he understands which card you get gives you the best bang for your buck for what particular subject matter that you're involved with. Some of these cards you can earn cash. Some of them you can earn airline tickets. And my most favorite one is the one where you can earn outdoor gear for. What are they simply doing? They're incentivizing behavior. They're rewarding certain behavior patterns from you. That's all they're doing. They're just simply rewarding behavior. Now, I want you to understand from God's word, where we're going to look at today in verses 15 through 18, the Holy Spirit is in the rewards program. There is a rewards program that is eternal in nature. You can literally buy back time, according to the scriptures. Now, let's look at verse 15 through 18. By the way, verses 15 and 16 are essentially my life's verses. They're my favorite in all the scriptures. Paul writes this: seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipations, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I've already read verse 20 earlier, and we are told in that verse to be thankful. But here in verse 15, the thought is started out for us. We're told to walk. So I really think, and we want to consider this as a paragraph today. I really think if we consider it as a paragraph, a thought, a cognate thought that Paul is putting out under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it is telling us to walk with a thankful attitude about all things. And what he's telling us in these opening verses of this passage is that we can buy back time. Now, Peter understood that. It's amazing because we can look at men in the scriptures who had lives that were very opposite of the gospel, that changed toward the gospel and became very thankful and grateful people. Peter said this in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verse 8. I think it's important for us to hear these words. It says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Love will make a difference in our thankfulness. In fact, it can cover up past mistakes in our life. If you want to buy back some time, let me give you three simple things that will help you accomplish that. I'm not saying this is going to lengthen your days, but it's going to make the moments that you have left, the minutes, the years, whatever that is, Brother Larry. I don't know. I don't know if I have 10 years left or 5 years left, Dwayne. I don't know if I've got a day left. But I want to make the best of what it is right now by being thankful. So let's look at this. First one is pay careful attention to what you are doing. Now, back in verses 15 and 16, the Phillips paraphrase translates these verses this way: live life with a due sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. Here is what I know. Our use of time is not neutral. You're either going to invest it in something that's good, or you're going to invest it in something that's not so good. If you go all the way back to the Psalms, and David didn't write all the Psalms, Moses wrote a few of them, and he happened to write the 90th Psalm. He was a man that loved God. He was a person that God counted his friend. He said these words in the 90th Psalm, verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years, and by reason of strength are 80 years. Yet their boasting is only labor and sorrow, for soon we are cut off and we fly away. Whether, my friend, if you have 70 years or 80 years, it would just be wise for us to pay careful attention to what we are doing right now. Does anybody really believe that what you're doing right now matters? It does. And yet we walk around with this incessant attitude that we're not even grateful. We're not even thankful. If you're going to be grateful and thankful, you know what you need to be? You need to be careful and prayerful in all things. Don't take things for granted. Look around you. Are you taking your spouse for granted? Look around you. Are you taking things for granted at this church? Pay careful attention to what you're doing. There's not a one of us that live our life in a vacuum. Contrary to popular opinion of society, what you do affects others. Second thing, you want to buy back some time? Understand what the will of the Lord is. Often the will of the Lord can seem like this mystical, hidden thing that takes months and years to really understand. It really shouldn't be that way. This past Monday, I had the privilege of being at Princeton Pike Church of God on the invitation of Barry Claudy there. And the founder of Liberty University, Emmer Towns, was there. And he had this talk to a local group of pastors that was there. And he talked about understanding what the will of the Lord is, just in general, by understanding what our purpose in life is. You want to know what our purpose in life really is? It can be distilled down just a few simple words. It's simply obeying God. It's obeying God. And then he shared this. God typically calls us in the areas that we are gifted in, that we have a desire in. That's where God calls us to serve at. Don't waste time being in other areas. Amen? Understand what God's will is. God's going to use us in the areas that we are strong in. And the ones that we're weak in, he will put people around us to help us in those areas as well. So you want to buy back some time? You want to show an attitude of gratitude? Then figure out what your gifts are. And then you'll stop being so grumpy because you're going to be serving with gladness. Amen? Start using them for God's glory. This past week, also Dr. Reed shared something with me that really stuck with me as I was considering some things here at this church. She said this. She said, if you have to pray about it too long, then you're probably going to miss out what God's will is. What do I mean by that? That means if you can get involved in somewhere, if you can serve in some capacity, and you got the giftedness in it, do it. If you have the ability to teach, then my friend, it doesn't take a lot of gray matter to be able to delineate what the Spirit of God's calling you to do. He's probably calling you to use your gift to teach in some capacity. If you have a giftedness to sing or to be involved in the worship arts ministry, that's where he's going to call you to serve in. Amen? If you've got a gift around kids, then he's going to call you to do that as well. God calls us where our heart's desire is. Just figure out where your heart's desire is, and it's going to purchase some time for you. Amen? And the third thing is this, and this is a big thing. Avoid reckless actions. Ooh. I could be the poster child for that one. Verse 18 tells us not to be filled with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. What he's telling us is there, don't be filled with the wrong thing. And then there's this big word there, dispostation. I don't even know if I said it correctly, probably didn't. But it comes from a Greek word which means no hope. There are things that we can do that have no hope. That's what I want you to try to understand from this passage. The reckless actions in our life, when we go contrary to what God would have us to do, they're reckless. And what he's describing there, essentially, is anything that we would substitute God's Spirit filling our life. Do you know that we can take something good and make it a bad thing? We can. We can take our jobs, which is a good thing, but we can make it a bad thing by overfilling our life with it and allowing it to take the place of the Holy Spirit's guidance in our life. You can take concern over your health and take it to the degree that you push the Holy Spirit out of your life. You can take it with your kids. I don't care what area that you want to talk about. You want to talk about recreation? Man, you can knock the Spirit of God out of your life by just being concerned with playtime. If you want to buy time, listen, be careful with what you're doing. Understand what God's will is and avoid reckless behavior. And whether you got a day left, or you got 10 years left, or 70 years left for some of our younger folks here today, you're going to make the best of that time. Amen? And that shows gratitude. That shows thankfulness. Now, here's the next thing. We're going to look at verses 19 and 20. And we're going to talk about having a lifestyle of thankfulness. Having a lifestyle of thankfulness. Okay? What we want to see from this verse right here, or these verses 19 through 20, is simply this. To find this attitude in us that defines thankfulness. An attitude of thankfulness. Now, excuse me while I find my notes this morning. I'm going to have to wing it. Let me read verses 19 and 20 to us today. Here's what the Word of God says. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what he's trying to tell us in having a lifestyle of thanksgiving. It starts with what we have in our life all the time. Speaking to one another or singing. We have this attitude that is going out from us. Everywhere we go, we're concentrating on the things of God. Whether we're in church, whether we're out of church, the Holy Spirit is calling us to give just this mindset that we love the Lord, we're concerned about the Lord, and everyone we come in contact with, we love them. Our conversations are in such that we hold each other up. We build one another up. We build the church up. Titus told us to speak those things which become sound doctrine. And another thing, it needs to come from our hearts. With our hearts, we make a confession with our mouths that we have been saved. Are you grateful for that? It's pertinent for us to know that out of our hearts is the way we will be speaking. We're either going to be singing about God and testifying about God, or we're not. Proverbs 10 tells us the wise in heart will receive the commands of God. Jesus had some things about the heart. He said this in Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. If you go down a few verses, like about 11 verses, in that 19th verse, he says this, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blaspheming. The word heart is very predominant in the scripture, because out of it comes our attitude. And the word heart comes from the Greek word cardia, and it literally means the center of human life. Really, thankfulness will not center on our own. True thankfulness will not center on our own thoughts and desires. We'll be grateful for what God has done. And another thing, as we put the last point up here for this, we give credit to where credit is due. If you're going to have a lifestyle of thankfulness, you're going to be continually thankful for things, and you're going to give credit to where it belongs. First, our credit starts to God. Most of us remember the old hymn. It goes, without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I would surely fail. Without him, I would be like a ship drifting without a sail. Friend, when was the last time that you honestly and openly expressed gratitude, thankfulness toward God? Really? When was the last time we just said, Lord, thank you for being the Lord? Remember the Lord's Prayer in Matthew? Really, it is the disciples' prayer, technically. And it tells us in just the opening thoughts. It says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What he is telling us there is simply, before we approach God with anything else, we need to express an attitude of gratitude to God for just being God. That's where real thanksgiving starts. It would be collectively a great day in Christianity if we could ever assemble together in the church and come together and say, thank you, Father, for being there. Thank you. Hallowed be your name. And not with all the other thing that is attached to our life. Just thank God for being God. And man, you talk about worship. You talk about a church that's got it right. That would be a church that's got it right. So when's the last time we have just honestly just said, God, thank you for being God? Let me share with you the last thing that will allow us to be thankful, show that we have thankful, real thankfulness in our life. It's found in verse 21 of that chapter. And it just simply this, being thankful for one another. Let's read 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And we don't like that word, submitting. People try to take it out of their marriage vows. People try to take it out of their life. But it's an important word. The Word of God tells us that we're respect, out of respect and courteousness to God, that we need to be respectful and courteous to one another. I think by the authority of the Scriptures, I believe I can say that thankful Christians will be thankful for other Christians. We need one another. There has to be unity within this body. God has taken diversity to define His church. We're all different, yet we're all the same. God takes diversity to make up His church. Why is it such an adversity if someone is different? We worry about the way they dress. We worry about the way they look. We worry about what they're watching, what they're eating, what they're driving. And none of these things will amount to anything in an eternal perspective. If you want to see some truths, I want you to see some truths from our verses this morning. The final verse this morning. I want you to understand that to be thankful for others is first finding your place. That's the point. Now you may ask what I mean by finding your place. Well, I take it from the Greek word submit, which is the word submit, which is translated from the Greek word hupotazo, which is literally means to place in order. The church has leadership. The home has leadership. You know the way that God bases leadership in His kingdom? On the greatest among us is the servant of the least. It's the servant leadership model, which is the way that a New Testament church propelled itself. It's the servant leadership model in which a home propels itself. God uses us in areas where we're gifted in, and we need to realize that and find our place. And realize that there may be someone else that is better gifted in another area that we have no giftedness in whatsoever. And sometimes it just means if we're going to submit ourselves, we just need to shut up and follow, doesn't it? Boy, that sounds harsh and cold. But it's the reality. As your leader, as your pastor, there's areas I just shut up and listen. I do. We all need to do that. So we need to find our place. Here's the other thing I want you to see out of this. We need to realize deep down we're all the same. Now we're told to submit to one another. Now that phrase there is implying and grammatically that we're all the same even though we may be different. Does that make sense? It sounds paradoxical, doesn't it? But it really does make sense from a biblical perspective. See, Paul understood that. He was somebody that was really different. His physical description was such that most of us, If he was standing up here before us today, we'd probably look at him and say, who's that clown? You know, he had what they call the unibrow. His eyebrows glued together, growed together. He knew nothing about tweezers, obviously. He could preach to the point where he would put people asleep. I have that gift too. And here he writes, we're all the same. We're different, but we're all the same. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 4-5. Paul writes, there's one body, there's one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Aren't we all the same? Can I add some ones to that that we all have in common? We have one God who is three in one. We have one Savior who is the one and the only Savior. We have one book, which is the book of books. We have one holy city that one day will come down and we will be one with Him. Now we do have a lot in common, don't we? I am thankful for the oneness that we have in Him. And lastly, we do this simply out of respect toward God. Why do we submit to one another? It's out of respect. It's out of fear for God. If we are respectful, if we are reverent, if we're responsive to God, listen to me very carefully. If you are that, you are going to be thankful for others. And you're going to be respectful. You're going to be reverent toward them. And you're going to be responsive toward them. Those who He's placed around you. Now, there is something that really just changed this all up for me as I went through this study and prep for this. And that is this. In the Bible, there's about 108 times some form of the word thanks occurs. 100 times. I think it doesn't start to be used until you get to around Chronicles in the Old Testament. Out of the 108 times, the Apostle Paul uses it almost one-third of those times, some 34 times. Paul was a man that went from being very ungrateful, very hateful, to somebody that was loving, caring, and thankful. Think about his opening words in the 15th verse, saying, you know, live life with his due sense of responsibility, redeeming the time, purchasing the time. Make a difference right now is what he's saying. So as I looked at the times that the Apostle Paul used the word thanks, some way, some shape or form, it could almost be equally divided between his thankfulness for God and the Lord Jesus Christ and his thankfulness for those serving with him. Paul loved those that were around him. At one time, he hated them. At one time, he wanted to see them dead. But boy, he sure changed up. I want to focus just for a few closing minutes here today on some of the things the Apostle Paul said about those in the church. He said this in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 6. Do not cease to give thanks for you. He's giving his personal testimony, making mention of you in my prayers. Philippians, the first chapter, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Were some of those thoughts not so happy? I would imagine they were not. But yet Paul could say, every time I think of you, regardless if it's good, bad, or indifferent, I am thanking God for you. Colossians, the first chapter, verse 3. We give thanks to God in the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verse 13. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you. Brethren, because we believe the Lord, because from the very beginning, you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Let's go back. Opening remarks, opening thoughts. Four levels that we are at when it comes to thankfulness. We're either that constant complainer, or we're somebody that just has blank expressions over anything and everything. Or we might be that person that is somewhat spiritual and be thankful for the obvious. Are we truly that person who is grateful for all things? Paul became this grateful person. It changed him forever. The gospel. So have you really received the gospel in your life? Real thankfulness is thankfulness for God. It is thankfulness for others. So today I want to show you on the screen, and it's written down in your bulletin as well. These are the things I want you to walk away with from this service. These are things that are going to be profitable, I believe, for you as you march out and do your daily things. And they're just really a revisiting of our three main points. First one is this: we can buy back time if we're truly thankful. Now, friend, don't be that person that is not grateful for anything. Don't do it. Find the good somehow, some way in it. This past week, this whole Penn State scandal has just been dominating the news. And I have to admit, from a leadership standpoint of view, it wasn't even poorly handled. It was handled in a way that there probably should be more criminal actions brought, in my humble opinion. What can we be thankful for there? Tell you what, we can be thankful it's over. It's been brought out into the light. Amen? Second thing. A thankful lifestyle comes from a thankful heart. Go back to verses 19 and 20. Paul says, singing hymns, songs, spiritual songs, you know, doing all that thing. What comes out of you through the course of a day? My wife said, don't say anything about this, but honey, I'm sorry, I have to. I was giving a concert this morning at the house, getting ready. I was. What was I singing? Was it all church stuff? I don't think so. It was. Dwayne, you'll never ask me to lead. The joke I used to play and sing with Dwayne, well, I didn't really sing, but I played the bass with a shepherd staff quartet, and we would travel. And Dwayne and Doug and Greg, they wanted me to sing. He said, you know, you could do a song or two. I said, guys, I really don't have the voice. So it was even actually here. We were rehearsing, going over some stuff. And so they had me do one. And I looked at them all, and I knew. I said, and I told them, I said, see, I told you. When we get in the car, we show up at church. Susan, is Susan here? Susan, do you hear me sing? Is it usually church stuff? I don't care. I'll just belt it out, man. Why? Because I'm grateful. And I'm learning to be a whole bunch more grateful. Third thing is this. I'm thankful. And if I am thankful to God, then I will be thankful for others. Those things are tied together. You can't have an attitude of gratitude toward what God has done and is doing for you without being grateful for those around you, everybody around you. Wasn't it wonderful just to read Paul's heart, just a little short synopsis of his gratefulness for those around him? It stemmed from him loving the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an old movie, a Western, and it was, I don't know who said it, but it was something that stuck with me. It was meant to be funny, but the old Western guy, you know, the sidekick guy, somebody had done something, and he was being mean, and he said, listen, you may not like me, but Jesus loves you. Sometimes we have to take that approach in our life. Okay? Would you bow with me in prayer? Now, Father, I'm grateful. And Lord, I lost a page of notes. And, I'm still grateful, Father. And we're to be instant in season and out of season. So, Lord, for whatever reason, you had that happen. And Lord, I even know distinctively, I went over to look and to be careful to make sure I had everything, and I didn't. But Lord, you had your reason, so I'm thankful for that. Today, Father, I hope and pray that your word will go to its intended receiver. Father, I know that we can be so ungrateful, even for the obvious. Lord, I pray that this is going to be a time in our life where we go not only for being grateful for the obvious, but for the things that we don't even understand. Job said, even though that you would slay him, he would still worship, he would praise his Redeemer. And Lord, from a big, big picture, things can look perfect, but from our little storms in life, they seem so bad and so awful. Lord, help us to pray for your perspective. Even though we may not see it, we may not understand it, we can still be grateful for it. So Lord, as I pray today, I pray that your word will go to its intended receiver. And we have this wonderful, unique promise in all literature, it will not return void. And that's a promise, that's a guarantee that is sealed by the Holy Spirit. I thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen.